G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Is there even one person in this room that your eyes just were opened, that maybe for the first time in your life you realize, man, I've been struggling with the same thing all my life, and the reality is that God loves me even still. Man, I'm breaking the heart of God. I got to make a change, not to earn salvation. This God loves me so much that he placed his presence, the divine nature in me. I have got to change.
Today with Jeff Vines, pastor, apologist, and Bible teacher.
Hello and welcome to Today with Jeff Vines. And as we lead up to Easter, we have a powerful series from Pastor Jeff, Eat and Remember. In this message, he's speaking from a few passages, John chapter 14 and Acts chapters 1 and 2. And he's asking, are you living, or what's your life about? Which are deep questions for some of us to think about. This message we started last time on the program. You can find the beginning of this message and all the messages in the series on your podcast app. Let's hear the rest of this message now with Pastor Jeff.
I don't know why God keeps leading me back to Hebrews 12. Here we are in Hebrews 12, their struggle, their suffering. And then in verse 5, the writer says, and have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't lose heart when he rebukes you. The word for rebuke is rebuttal. It's a word of exhortation that argues against you. That's actually a quote from Proverbs 3. So what the scripture is saying is, when you're struggling or even suffering because bad things are happening to you and you start to feel that God's abandoned you, listen now, the Holy Spirit comes and rebuts your feelings with objective truth, with what is real, what is true. You can't determine what is true by the way you feel. You feel differently from hour to hour. So the Spirit comes in and tells you, you are his child. He's not abandoned you. He's for you. Good fathers often put their children in places to help them step forward in full maturity. The father does that because he loves you. He loves his children. Trust him. Keep going. Have you ever read 1 John 3:20? If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts. He knows everything. The Holy Spirit is greater than your heart. It's the Spirit's job to argue. Argue what? Okay, here we go now. Argue what? Folks, our hearts are not comfortable with grace because you're not in control when there's grace. You don't like that. That's why you're so judgmental over somebody who struggles with something. You have no idea how difficult it is. Deep inside, we really think grace is too good to be true. It's good in theory. Pragmatically, we like it, but we don't think it works. And as a result of that, you are constantly wavering, if not drowning in doubt. That because of your sin, God's abandoned you. Because I know that I'm not good enough, I'll never be accepted by God. And I know there's some of you right now saying, Pastor Jeff, you are confusing me. Was it not Pastor Jeff in this very room a few weeks ago that told me, you better get your life right. You better straighten up and fly right. Yes. Let me say it one more time. You are saved by grace through faith. But genuine salvation leads to the Spirit of God in you. And the Spirit of God in you, if he's really in you, leads to a passion to do the good. Not because you're trying to earn salvation, but because the Spirit of God, if God is in you, he has a desire for your emotional, psychological, physical well-being. He knows that comes when you obey the Word of God. Amen. So of course, there's a desire. Now, if you have no desire to live a righteous life and you have a cavalier attitude toward doing what's right, here's my comment to you. Come to Jesus, because you ain't come yet. You're not there yet. I don't know what you've done or who you believe, but if the Spirit of God lives in you, the byproduct is a passion to do the good. However, If you have a passion to live a righteous life, but you struggle again and again and again and again, and you think God comes to you one day and says, or Jesus comes and says, you know what, Jeff? That's like the zillionth time that I've had to take this sin of yours to the Father. No more. That's it. Find another advocate. You know what the Bible tells you to do? Chill. Chill out. Keep walking with Jesus. Keep stretching toward the mark, but never doubt his love and grace for you. Once you've experienced the grace of God, the Holy Spirit will pound you with the gospel until you chill, until you relax. Now, it's not just the Holy Spirit defends us against accusations. He also defends us against temptations. James chapter 4 says, therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Or do you think Scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the Spirit he has caused to dwell in us? Again, difficult Greek, tough to translate into English, but let me give you a paraphrase. The Bible says, don't you know that when you start allowing the world to take you away from God, the Holy Spirit grieves because he longs for your love. So when the Holy Spirit sees us violating some precept of God, the Spirit does what any loving, true friend would do toward an addict friend: intervention. Hey, Pastor Jeff, you're killing yourself. Why are you doing that? Why are you thinking those thoughts? You're swimming in the dump when you could be living in the land of milk and honey. I'm not going to let you do that. I'm going to confront you and hound you, oppose you. You and I may even come to blows over this, and I'm definitely not going to let you get any sleep. But I'll never let you go. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to the completion until the day of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is this glorious person who will never stop until you become the glorious person you were meant to be. He'll oppose anything in your heart that will scuttle you. He's utterly for you, which means he's also utterly against you. He's the permanent friend who will do a constant intervention in your life because he loves you. And he's not happy with what you're doing that will destroy you physically, emotionally, psychologically. And the reason most of us don't understand the second advocate is because we don't understand the first advocate. What? John 14, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, legal representative. Well, who's the first one? 1 John 2:1, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin, but if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Charles Hodge was the president of Princeton University in the late 1800s. Let me share something that he wrote. I love this. He said, Jesus Christ is your advocate or legal representative before the bar. A legal advocate does not plead for mercy. He makes a case on the basis of law. How does this person measure up under law? Justified. It's as if Jesus is saying, Father, you're just and sin demands payment, and this brother or sister of mine has sinned. But Father, the payment has been made. Look at my broken body. Look at my poured out blood. I've paid it all. It would be unjust to get two payments for the same sin. Therefore, I'm not asking for mercy. I'm asking for an acquittal for my brother. Do you see, when Jesus becomes your legal advocate, the justice of God now is on your side. It would be unjust for God to take two payments for the same sin. The justice of God demands no condemnation for you. Is there even one person in this room that your eyes just were opened, that maybe for the first time in your life you realized, man, I've been struggling with the same thing all my life, and the reality is that God loves me even still. Amen. And something then happens in you. Whoa, hey, you like it so far, but something then happens in you. Man, I'm breaking the heart of God. I got to make a change. Not to earn salvation. This God loves me so much that he placed his presence, the divine nature in me. I have got to change. And then the Bible says the Spirit of God enables you with power to change. Okay, Pastor Jeff, what does all this have to do with Pentecost and Shavuot? My basketball coach in high school, I tore all the ligaments in my ankle about probably, I think, 2 weeks, 1 or 2 weeks before the season. And it was an important season because your senior year, that's when all the college scouts come around. So you want to be at your best. You want to be in good health and you want to be playing. Well, you know, when they put a little cast on you, when you're 17, 18 years old, you just get bored pretty quickly just sitting around all the time. So I went out on the court after basketball practice and I was playing basketball with my friends on one leg. And my basketball coach came out to me and he put my cheeks in his hands. And he looked at me and he says, "What are you doing?" And he said, "We need you healthy. Why are you doing this? You're going to injure the other leg. We've got to have you healthy if we're going to achieve our objective." You know what God says to every single one of us? "I need you healthy." Why? Because when they began Pentecost, the priest would come out and he'd wave the sheaf and he would say, "The harvest is ripe and ready." So that the whole point of your life after salvation is allowing the Spirit of God to transform you to the point of leading such a compelling life that those who are far from God would come near. The fields are white with harvest. Jesus is going to fulfill these three feasts, and it's very soon. And so what are we to do while we're waiting? One, acknowledge the relationship between law, life, and healing. Can I ask you what ails you? Stress, anxiety, depression, frustration, maybe just people in general. Mental, physical, emotional pain. Folks, do you know what we've known for years in the medical world? We know that your physical health is a response to your emotional and mental health. Now, not always, okay? Not always. There are exceptions because God has a plan for some lives. And that plan sometimes includes pain. But for the most part, your physical health is a response to your emotional and mental health. Fear, anxiety, stress, depression, frustration, anger are all legitimate emotions. Did you know that? There's no sin in these emotions. If you're human, you're going to experience all of them. The sin comes in your response to them. If you respond to your emotions in an unhealthy manner, it can actually cause physical disease. Do you know that? So when I get stressed, I overeat. When I get angry, I plot harm. I become bitter. When I get anxious, I become physically debilitated. I just worry all the time. Many physical ailments come as a result of an improper response to the events and emotions of our lives. Doctors will tell you high blood pressure, fatigue, dizziness, nervous system issues. In fact, they'll say to some degree, any and all disease physically is a result of unhealthy emotions and responses to the events of our lives, because inappropriate responses actually weaken our immune systems and make us susceptible to any disease. The Hebrews believed that the Word of God and the Spirit of God in you at the same time is the only thing that could bring ultimate shalom. Shalom is much more than just peace. It is inner well-being. It is a deep wellspring of life and living. In fact, you know, we said before, Shavuot's the only Jewish feast where the main course is dairy. Wow. Give me any feast that lets me eat a dozen Krispy Kreme donuts with cream on top. But why? Because milk is associated with the Torah. Just as babies, they said, are nourished by mother's milk, so also are the people of God nourished by the words of God, as sweet as milk and honey, leading to good health and vitality. And God needs you emotionally, psychologically healthy. Traditionally on Shavuot, the story of Ruth would be read. Do you know why? Because there's the definitive section in the book of Ruth where Ruth is not a Hebrew, but her mother-in-law Naomi is. And she says to her mother-in-law, "Wherever you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." And then the people said, Ruth was not part of God's people, but became part of the people of God by love and by choice. And then they would say, in the same way, the Jews were given the law, but it's their choice whether to embrace the words of God and follow it wherever it leads them. And by doing so is the only way you're ever going to be shalom, healthy, experience vitality in the emotions, in the psychology of life, in your mental and physical state. Do you understand the purpose of Shavuot? So that the Spirit of God would transform you, that you would be compelling to others on the outside. So that every time you read, "Before you were born, I knew you," or "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Proverbs 18, "One who has unreliable friends soon comes to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. My favorite, Romans 8, for I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you are in the Word regularly, we now know that it will decrease your anxiety, your stress, your worry, your fear, your doubt, and your emotional turmoil. And there will be a significant increase in peace and wisdom and confidence and faith and hope and love and passion. And as a result, ultimately, there will be the healing of the physical and emotional and the psychological. And yet, Lifeway research tells us that only 3 in 10 Christians read the Bible regularly. No wonder we're a mess. No wonder we're a mess. God, let me say it again, needs you healthy. All right, now we're rounding third. This is almost the end, please. Chevy Watt was originally designed to motivate us to acknowledge God's provision by giving our first fruits. When you give first fruits, it means that something greater will follow, right? So when Jesus rises from the dead as the first fruits, that means millions are going to follow him. When we bring the first fruits of the harvest of wheat, we're going to collect thousands and thousands of quarts of wheat for the harvest. Now watch this closely. A passage that has been misunderstood. John 14 says, verse 12, "Verily, or very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father." Wow. Greater things than Jesus? I wish I could raise the dead. I wish I could cause it sometimes too. We're honest in this church. What's the point? The Greek word means not greater in kind, but greater in scope. So even though you and I may not do the physical miracles Jesus did, there is a sense at which we will bring about more spiritual healing than Jesus did because he was limited by time and space when he walked the earth, but now he lives in all of us. So the scope is far greater so that the believers who are the recipients of the Holy Spirit, we become the first fruits of God that will redeem the universe on a grand scale. And how do we do that? Listen, your life may have trouble. Actually, I can promise you that it will. But the difference is the way you handle it, because of the Holy Spirit in you and because of the Word of God in you. And you acknowledge the relationship between law and life and healing so that even when your world is falling apart, people are drawn toward you because you live for a purpose greater than yourself. Not only that, we acknowledge that we've been marked, not quickly. Ephesians 4 says, "We do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed, marked for the day of redemption." Now, why does the Spirit of God place his mark on us? One, to protect us. I can't get into that this week, but I'll get into it next. But there's a second reason. Because he owns you. We belong to God for his purposes. Now, stay with me, man. I got like 4 minutes left. Somebody will come to me and say, "Pastor Jeff, I don't get it. I'm doing all the right things and my life is falling apart and my little heathen hellion friend over here violates all the precepts of God and he's got a new job and he drives a Mercedes. I don't get it." You know why you don't get it? Because your friend is not marked. You're marked for a purpose greater than physical and material things. So of course God is involved in your life to a different degree. "He who began a good work in you will carry it on to the day of completion until the day of Christ." You have a specific purpose to which God has called you, and you don't believe that because your God is still too small. The general purpose of your life is to be saved and sanctified. But the specific calling on your life, God is committed to complete it. Can you imagine? God says to Jesus, "Okay, mark that one for ministry. Going to be lots of pain. Mark that one for government, going to be lots of temptation. Mark that one for a school teacher, going to be lots of hair pulling." You've been marked. So of course the journey of your life may not be successful in the way that your friends identify it or define it, but your physical, emotional, and spiritual health should be off the charts because you know that God's hand is on your life and peace comes in knowing God's got you. And your life is going to have every challenge, obstacle, roadblock, twist and turn necessary to complete the work that God began in you. He's going to get you there. And chances are high, you're going to fight, kick, and scream along the way. He's okay with that. He loves you, but he'll win in the end. And finally, we acknowledge that if we want to take hold of the milk and honey, we have to follow Jesus wherever he leads us. On Shavuot, God says, this is my law, follow it, and you will live. At Pentecost, God says, this is my spirit, obey him, you will live. Ruth says, I will go where you go, your people will be my people. And Revelation 14:4 says, they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Please listen, this is the end. This is the real end, no fake end. God loves you. And let me tell you, he's got a calling on your life, and the reason so many of us are miserable is because you knew what that calling was years ago, but you were afraid. You were afraid to step out for fear of what might happen. Young people, please listen. Don't make the same mistake that so many before you have made. Don't make the decisions of what you're going to do in your life based on how much money you're going to make. Don't do that. Based on something that resonates in you, called a holy discontent, that you know that's what God wants you to do. Because if you're doing that, man, you can make little money and you'll still have peace and joy and happiness. Some of you right now, God's calling you to a different job, a different girlfriend, a different state, a different career, maybe even a different nation. Do you know that your best life is on the other side of obedience? And every time you obey, each act of obedience leads you one step closer to shalom, peace, contentment, emotional health, and joy. God needs you healthy. So whatever it is in your life that's destroying you, I'm asking, do you have the courage to knock it off? Not because of what people think about you, and not because you want to gain some reward, because you love Jesus, and you want people, when they see you, to see somebody who is emotionally, psychologically, and physically stable. God needs you healthy. Shavuot, the Holy Spirit has come, and the fields are white with harvest. As we go out into the field, may we live such distinctive lives that people can't help but to ask us about the power and the hope that is in us. Father, thank you for your truth, your word, its power, its conviction, its love. And overwhelm us with all those things, while all the while knowing that you love us deeply and you will never let us go. And the conviction will come. Sometimes the punches will come. But I pray that we would understand the condemnation has already been taken care of. We stand therefore in no condemnation, because our hope and our faith and our trust is ultimately in you. In Christ's name we pray, everybody said then, amen.
You've been listening to Today with Jeff Vines. Next time, we'll bring you a new message from Pastor Jeff. You can listen to more messages like this. Just search for Today with Jeff Vines wherever you get your podcasts. You make me
Today with Jeff Vines.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.